So if you take that brief, and then if you look at the verses 12 to 25, there was, see, for whatever reason, Bhagavan and Vyasa has, don't say things straight away. Say, I exist forever, he won't say. My non-existence was never existent before. So you just make your mental exercise for it. That's fine. But what comes out of this is few character of this Atma. So when you say Atma, you know an Atma is opposite of that. So for example, he says, Atma is Nitya. Nitya means eternal. So what is Anatma? Anatma is Anitya. You add the Sanskrit, it becomes opposite of this, non-eternal. You say that in one slogan. But how can be Atma alone be Nitya? If you say samsaram is eternal, ignorance is eternal, it's also there. So to avoid the confusion, I think in one of the verses he says, Atma is Kudasthanitya. He qualifies it. That's why in Bhagavad Gita things repeat to give you further knowledge. Kudasthanitya means it is nitya, it's eternal, but unchanged eternal. That means, is there other eternal? If you look at the river, Thames is flowing, eternally it's flowing, for example. When the river is flowing, it is nitya. But it is changing. Every tide is changing, right? This is called pravaga nitya. It's nitya is right, but it is changing. It's not permanent. So Atma is kudastha nitya. And you say Atma is nirvikaraka. Vikaram means change. Therefore Anatma is savikaraka. Sorry, I couldn't add here. With changes. So what kind of changes? He says, there are six changes in Vedanta for the Anatma, for the body. Take body as an example. What are the six changes to the body? It exists in a state before it is born. In unmanifest state. Like a tree in a seed. Like we in a womb, somewhere we stay, unmanifest state. Asti is called. That's the first state. Then it is born. Birth is second state. In the born, the baby grows. Growth is a third change. From the growth, we make changes. We don't grow anymore, but we get changes. Then you have decay. Eyes don't see, hunchback, legs are not standing up straight. Then death. Shatvikara, six changes. So he says Atma is Shatvikara Rahita. Atma doesn't have these changes. All this he is building up to preach Arjuna. Atma is Sarvagadata. It is there everywhere, omnipresent. Atma is aprameya. Aprameya means it is subject to a sensory perception. See, this is very important to understand. Atma is beyond the senses. How do you prove this? See, anything you want to see, if you want to think about this mic, and the mic is not there, you need a trigger. Somebody says mic, so mic will come into your mind, then the room, the name form will come into your mind. You want to think about, you see a picture of your friend, then the thought about the friend comes in. If you smell of a beautiful laddu, then your laddu comes in your mind. Senses, everything. But what, how do you think of yourself? When you think about yourself, how do you think? Have you ever thought about it? You can't, because you can't think of yourself. You are unthinkable. Not in a bad way, but in a very good way. You always exist. It's beyond your senses. It's called ajaba javam. The I consciousness always there. You don't think of yourself. You exist. This is a simple proof to say something that is beyond your senses. Aprameya. That is Atma. Then he says, Atma is akarta. He doesn't do any work. Na hedu karta. Doesn't make anybody any do any work. Abohitaka. It doesn't enjoy. How is it possible? If you don't do any work, how can that be performances? Even when you learn karma yoga, you will learn about, no, don't do work, but let's be your yoga. Again, we take a simple example to understand this. Sun gives light. Do we agree? But is really the sun giving the light? No. Sun is there, light is there. Sun is light, so there is light. Is it not? He is not doing an action of giving you the light. His very nature is light. And kartrutvam becomes the own nature. Everything happens. Does he do anything? Does he ask you to get up? Does he ask the seed to flow? Does he ask the flower to come up? Na hedu karta. He is not instrument for any action. Is he enjoying? No. He's just being there. That is how the Atma is. It is just there. The mere effulgence of that Atma makes things happen. An Atma Jnani, one who is self-aware of themselves, when he sits there, he doesn't do any work, he's not doing any social service, he's not preaching, he's not advising anybody. He's not doing any iota of work. But is he wasted in life? No. The very being he is there, things happen. So I'm giving the essence of Atma Tattvam here. It's what God says. Why is he doing all this to Arjuna? This guy just completely frightened of the fight. He's sitting there asking for advice. He must tell him how to fight, how to deck, how to win. But he's giving the Brahmastram, nuclear bomb is dropping on him. Because his strategy is very simple. Krishna is the most efficient manager in the world. He attacks him in three prongs. If I teach him about Atma, Atma Tattvas, he will realize that he is not going to kill any Atma. Atma is unkillable. So, therefore, he will not worry about killing anybody. He will stand up and fight. Therefore, that is one approach of giving Mura Atma. Or at least he can understand Anatma. Atma is pretty complicated. Anatma is very physical. You can see, touch and feel. But if you understand Anatma is insentient, it is already dead. Therefore, you can't kill something already dead. Therefore, by slicing or slashing the bodies of the opponents, doesn't matter. He should get it. That's a second thought, I think. In case if you think both Atma and Anatma are too much PhD thesis, I'm not ready for that. He will talk about ethics and morality. Dharma, Adharma. He gives a chapter and verse in the first one, right? He talks about all this stuff. So if he goes in that approach, Dharma, Adharma, morality point of view, even then the Lord will put him in the corner because he's going to argue about it. So his plan is very well set. He's going to talk about Atma, Anatma, Dharma, Adharma to make him understand. Because he's resisting to change. Arjuna is resisting to change. But what do we take it from here? Let's go back to the title again. Sankhya Yoga. If you take the verse 39, I remember this verse because we discussed it last time. In this verse he says, I have told you about knowledge in the way of Sankhya. Please don't take it as a Sankhya Darshana, it's about Jnana. I've given you Atma Jnana, I've given you. I also give you the discipline of action called Yoga. By knowing these two, you can actually conquer grief and be free. So the word Sankhya Yogam now, the title, we will read it differently. Sankhya is the jnanam. Yoga is a disciplined action. So he is going to ask Arjuna to follow these two, both the jnanam and action. I already given you a quiz why the jnanam comes first, that you need to contemplate. Because if you contemplate and understand it, it will stay in your mind. That's why I'm not telling you that one. But our idea is to make it practical to us. What do we take it from here? Very quickly, I want to remember this from the chapter and keep it in the mind. So we don't have whiteboards. Let's just use a mental canvas, okay? So I'm going to write here a big letter S. S for your state of affairs. What's your state of affairs? Samsara. What is samsara? Is unfulfillment. Apurnatva. Grief. Cycle of birth and death. Not in control. This is our state. Yes. We want to go to the other end. What is purnatvam? Fulfillment, freedom, liberty, that is moksha or mukti. So let us put an M there. Please remember, mukti, moksha doesn't mean that you die and go to heavens, go to Indraloka, Chandraloka, Vaikuntha. You may go all those places because of your punya, but that is only to be a temporary relief from your grief. The temporary could be thousands of years, or 10,000 years, I don't know. But when the Mahapralayam finishes as a karna sharidam, you'll manifest again and you'll come back again. It's still in the samsara clutches. So moksham is freedom. But then moksham doesn't need to be beyond the death. It can moksham in your living. It's called jivan mukti. See, if it's everything going to be beyond the body, I don't care about that one. I want to enjoy it now. That's the demand we have. So jivan mukti. So we want to go from S to So what do we learn from the Arjuna state and the chapter 2 Upadesam is that the samsara or the grief comes because we are not accepting what is inevitable. We are trying to make changes into things that are unchangeable. In other words, we resist to change. Arjuna will resist to follow the duty. Resistance. So resistance, when you resist and if it doesn't happen the way you want, you grieve. Whether it's a simple thing like, you know, you ask your child to give me the book and she is not giving the book, she resists, you get angry. So grief comes in just no time, just waiting for you. So resistance is the cause of samsara. So you put an R next to S. So this is how we deal with the external world. Everywhere you look at it, it comes to resistance. But fundamentally, the resistance is a bad attitude. It's because we don't understand who we are. Atma, anatma, jnanam is not there. The knowledge of self is not there. That is, there is ajnanam. That is, there is ignorance. Only ignorance makes you resist, makes you not accept what is going on in life. So let us put an I next to it. So we got S, R, I. But you want to go to the moksha. So moksha is completely opposite to samsara. Therefore, we do opposite things. But let's start internally first. We know that I had a lot of trouble, grief. I go to this satsang and they talk about the self-knowledge. Therefore, what I do, I understand what the self-knowledge is. So therefore, you look for atma-jnana. So by atma-jnana, what do? You question atma, anatma, and at some stage, slowly but gradually, but surely, it happens like just like that. You realize yourself. Realization comes in. Knowledge comes in. That I am not this dying, decaying body. I am not this rotting mind. I am beyond that. Therefore, I have beyond all these changes. When the realization comes in, that is jnanam, It has nothing to do with the ajnana. They are polarized opposite, like a light in the darkness. When you have knowledge, ajnanam doesn't exist nearby. Therefore, let us not go near the eye. Put a space next to eye, because we want to be away from eye. Put R, realization. So we are away from ignorance, but we realize it. Because you realize it, or because you are learning to realize, because you are in satsang, you are talking about, thinking about who you are, a tremendous attitude change has happened. You understand what is going on in this world. You understand Atma and Atma. You understand things that cannot be changed. Beautiful word, the Lord says, Aparihara. Actions that cannot be, Parihara means a cure. You know, in Karma Yoga, in Karma Kanda, in Vedas, they say, now, if you want somebody to get married, do this parigaram. You have everything got a cure, medical cure. Like that. But things that cannot be cured, called aparihara. Understand that is the nature of the world. Accept it. So acceptance to change. Acceptance is the greatest quality. Tidiksha. Taking everything. Therefore, put an A after R. Before him. So you got a sacred mantra now, which reads as Sri Ram. Is it not? So Sri is the Maya, samsara. However prosperous it may look like. It's also a poison in Sanskrit. Sri is also called poison. Lord Shiva is called Sri Kanta. He's got poison in his neck. But it's got lots of meaning, so don't take it. Also, it's a very good meaning, prosperous, Mahalakshmi. Prosperous. To give you all kinds of ikapara help. God wants you to enjoy. The reason why we take the body is to enjoy life. If you want to enjoy, you need material wealth. So if you go to Vedas, the first three-fourths of the Vedas are all about karma, dharmas. You be a good person, enjoy Indraloka, Vaikuntha, everything. But when you come to Jnana, that same wealth becomes a poison. The Ram is a personification of Atma. So I give you that Sri Ram as a mantra, which you all know. But when you want to contemplate, you can just think through this. This is taking from Samsara to Moksha. And this, therefore, we prove what we set out to prove, that Bhagavad Gita is indeed a universal solace to grief. It indeed contains right knowledge. It indeed has practical steps. But we didn't discuss the practical step. We discussed mantra as a cue. But this is what you will learn when you learn the thing. Because Lord is very compassionate. He comes down from his esteemed position to ground level and is going to tell you how to eat, what to eat, what not to eat, how to sleep, who to move with. He's going to give you step by step things in the rest of the chapter. But in this chapter, he has given you the esoteric knowledge of Vedanta. So that is why I think Sankhya Yogam is the most important chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I hope this is of some value to you. I'll finish it now. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Questions.